This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
I'm Art Packer. My partner is Wes Durham. We have a ton of things to get to. We have a new coach in the ACC, which we will discuss and talk to. We got stuff going on with the ACC women's programs that were rocking and rolling on selection committee night. And Wes, we got some nuggets and tidbits and all kinds of stuff going on today. It's going to be a fun show.
And good guest, David Teal will be here coming up at 7:30. Jeff Walls in the 9 o'clock hour, the head women's coach at Louisville. Brooke Wyckoff, the interim head coach at Florida State at 9:30. And Earl Grant, who is the new head basketball coach at Boston College, will join us at 8 o'clock here this morning. We start with a little bit of, number one, how about the eight teams on the women's side that go to the NCAA tournament last night, Pac? And congratulations to NC State, right?
How about the fact that about a week or so ago, maybe a week and a half, the Women's Selection Committee came out with a little teaser and had NC State on the two line and Louisville on the three. And I was like, man, y'all need to watch some basketball. What are y'all talking about? Well, guess what? They got it right. They got it right last night.
Yep.
Now, we'll go into this in greater detail later in the program. But congratulations, NC State is a one. And Louisville is a two, and the other six ACC schools that joined the mix, including Wake Forest, where they are celebrating, and rightfully so, a great story. The only one that was kind of a iffy was Notre Dame, and even Muffet McGraw yesterday said, I just don't have a good vibe with that one, and she was right, like she normally is. But we'll talk about the eight ACC women's programs that are advancing in the field of 64, and congratulations to all of them.
Earl Grant was named yesterday as the new basketball coach at Boston College. He'll join us coming up at 8 o'clock. It catches a lot of people by surprise because I think a lot of folks thought this process was going to take a little bit longer, to be honest with you. I think Mark Schmidt, the head coach at St. Bonaventure, who's a BC grad, was one of those targeted guys. His team obviously playing this week after being the champions of the A-10, things of that nature. Howard Isley is an assistant coach who's somebody – you know, had regarded, I mean, look, there are a lot of different things, but Pat Kraft went ahead and pulled the trigger on Earl Grant, a 44-year-old native of North Charleston, South Carolina, who had spent the last 7 years at the College of Charleston as the head basketball coach and was the CAA Coach of the Year and had three 20-win seasons with the Cougars and did finish top three in four of the last 5 years. So he did build the program back for the College of Charleston. We will talk with him coming up at 8 o'clock and looking forward to it. His tenure at Clemson, five seasons with Brad Brownell as an assistant and outstanding recruiter, and has done a good job at the College of Charleston. I'll be interested to get his thoughts on what he thinks the job one will be at Boston College, Pack.
You know, you never know how a coaching search is going to go, right? And the funny thing is, all of us on the outside, let me emphasize on the outside because we're not part of the process, we'll sit there and you'll think of, well, I think they should go after A, B, C, D, and E, and this person's an alum, this person's from the Northeast, or whatever the case may be. I mean, depending on whether we're talking about Indiana, Minnesota, DePaul, Iowa State, or BC, because everybody now had a job opening from that perspective. But, you know, when you're going through the process, Wes, and you find the guy that says, hey, you know what, that guy meets the criteria that I'm looking for to run our program.
Right.
You go with it. Now, regardless of what the outsiders say, which would be us, or whether you like the hire or not, whether or not you win the press conference, that's kind of irrelevant too. I've never understood all that stuff. But when you go through the process and you find the person that meets what you're looking for to identify your program, you hire them, he or she, whatever the case may be. Whatever the school is. So, I mean, I saw a lot of folks yesterday barking about, man, this is a crazy hire, and where'd this come from? Well, you know, everybody barking about that, I assure you 100% of them were not in the room during the interview process. So, you know, I never know how any of this stuff's going to work. I hope from Earl's standpoint they have great success. We're all rooting for everybody in the ACC to win as many games as possible. So, you know, I hope it works. But, I you know, was that a name that you heard people that are – quote-unquote experts in this field? No, but that doesn't mean anything. So what? you know, you go hire the best person. So hopefully for Earl's sake and for Pat Kraft and BC, this becomes a perfect marriage, and he rock and rolls in the ACC. So we'll see how it goes. But we look forward to having him on the show.
Well, sir. And there are a lot of pipelines that need to be rebuilt at Boston College. You and I have talked about that. It's good when Boston College is good. When Boston College is good, it helps the ACC, right? Because it's a major market. They made a lot of strides this year in football, and certainly we're wishing Earl Grant the best. Look forward to visiting with him. Top of the hour. Okay, not long after the show was over yesterday, we got a tweet back from Josh Pastner. But you may remember that yesterday on the show, we had a little fun with the coach when we replayed the post-game interview from Saturday night's ACC Championship with Allison Williams, where apparently a lot of people got thanked.
Hey, and I want to give a great shout-out to Dan and Jay. Thanks for covering the game. Thanks for ESPN. Primetime we're on.
Hey, man.
So great for everybody. Thumbs up.
Hey, man.
And Allison, we appreciate you so
appreciate
much as
you.
Well, too. And I know Coach Greenberg's listening as well. Hello, Coach Greenberg, Reese Davis, LaFonso Ellis is over there. Hello, everybody.
Hey, man. Thank you, everybody.
Well, we kid around.
Would have been an ideal time, right?
Well, we kid around yesterday.
Would have been an ideal time, right?
Thanks, Coach. We appreciate the thanks, right? I mean, you went through the whole phone book at ESPN and ABC Sports and the worldwide leader and everything else. You didn't even mention Packer and Durham. Of course, it was all tongue-in-cheek. And lo and behold, Coach apparently was watching. And so here's what he had to say on Twitter.
Said you guys were on the list, but ESPN told me I was out of time. They started playing the music to get me off the stage.
That's great. I love it.
Okay, Pastner. We got you.
No,
we got you.
That was a great answer, too.
Georgia Tech and Loyola, 8-9 game on Friday, by the way.
Yeah, the dreaded 8-9 games. Boy, I tell you what, people were barking yesterday afternoon on radio about the brackets. I mean, isn't it funny how people just – I mean, it's like, hey, you're in. Don't you understand? We're going to have a tournament. Embrace that. If you're one of the 68 – thank the Lord, you're in. You have a chance.
Right.
Doesn't matter if there's a 1
correct.
Or a 16 beside your name, man. Go for it. You got a chance to play. Hopefully get the chance to play. Mm. So, sometimes you just got to take a step back and go, hey, we should have been a 6 seed. Well, you know what? You're not. You're a 10 seed. Deal with it. I mean, go play.
That's
go
it.
Win games. Go prove it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I feel about the whole thing. But Pastor's got a great sense of humor, and why wouldn't he be in a good mood? Seriously.
Oh.
I mean, why wouldn't you be in a good mood?
I mean,
good
they just won an ACC title. I mean, yeah, exactly. The story out of Indianapolis yesterday, originally, I think, reported by Jeff Goodman at Stadium, the one that has – and it's a big deal now. I mean, the story is that 6 NCAA tournament basketball officials – and if the reports are accurate, some of the bigger names in college basketball were sent home because of COVID-19. They arrived in Indianapolis, according to Goodman, and because their hotel rooms weren't ready, they couldn't isolate. And an NCAA staffer told them to go ahead and go get dinner, and when they came back, they could test and they would get their rooms.
Wes,
you know how this works out?
I do. That's why, you know, sometimes you got to upgrade and not stay out there by the airport off the frontage road. No, you referees, y'all need
frontage
to upgrade
road.
A little bit, because when you're staying out there by the airport off the frontage road, you
I don't
come
think
rolling
that was
in there.
The case.
You come rolling in there at noon. You know what? They're not ready for you till about 5 in the afternoon. So y'all go out and grab some lunch. And you know what? Lo and behold, bam. We've harped on this over – I wish I had a dollar for every time I've said this to you on this show or the afternoon radio show. Mm-hmm. Number one, you got to stay safe. COVID does not care. Doesn't care.
Doesn't
care if you're a 2 seed, 15 seed, an official with good eyes, bad eyes, whatever. Does not care. And, you know, when I saw this story yesterday, I'm like, I'm shocked we've gone this far without having a story like this.
Right.
To be honest with you, I mean, these officials, much like the players, have done an incredible job this year staying healthy, traveling game after game after game. And I'm stunned we haven't had this story yet. And now we have it on the eve,
right,
if you will, of the NCAA tournament. So we, number one, we hope everybody's healthy. That's the first thing. And, you know, where this goes moving forward, knock on wood that we can get these games in. I mean, who knows how this bad boy's going to play out? Who knows?
Well, and here's the thing, though, Pac. Four of the officials have been replaced by the pool of reserves. Two will not. But nonetheless, and look, everybody has fun with basketball officials, okay?
Oh, of course.
Everybody loves their 15 seconds of, you know, killing the guy who's the official or whatever the case may be. Get it. But in this event, they're competing just like everybody else is, right?
That's right.
And when you lose, yeah, and when you lose six of the more highly regarded officials, that's a big deal. That's a big deal, okay? Because you can replace four of them with the pool of reserves, but, and no offense to the pool of reserves, but they're in the pool for a reason. Because they're not as good as the six.
Now you're killing officials, Wes. You're just like everybody else. You've come to our dark side just with that line right there. I know Teddy Valentine, and you're no Teddy Valentine. That's the dark side.
I'm Lloyd.
That
Benson.
Was a very subtle. Yeah. That's the difference between me and you. I will tell you, some of these refs deserve to go home. You, on the other hand, are going to be very politically correct and ease it into the conversation. Hey, again, I don't want anybody getting sick, but some of these guys.
No. Well, here's the deal. In this particular case, I'd like to know why the NCAA staffers sent people to eat dinner. Why'd we say, well, go get something to eat, and then we'll come back and test?
What did I just tell
you? What are we doing?
What did I just tell you? Some of these officials, they're making good coin. They're doing five games a week. They're probably making, I don't know what an official makes a game. When they make a game, $300? $500? I don't know.
A little more than that, Pac.
$1,000 a game.
A little more than that.
$10,000 a game. I don't know what they make. Don't stay at the airport hotel on the frontage road. It's the NCAA tournament. Step up your game. When you get to the hotel, they'll have your room waiting for you. You know,
I don't think they were at the Frontage Road Holiday Inn or Howard Johnson's.
I didn't say, hey,
Frontage
for the
Road,
record,
though. And before, everybody who watches minute, this show who knows where Frontage Road is, that's a good line.
Thank you. That's why I said it. I didn't mention any brand names. You did. So if we get a memo from the bosses at ESPN that, hey, you guys are ripping it, I didn't say a word about any brand hotel. I just said the airport hotel on the Frontage Road.
On Frontage Road.
You're the one giving me the I'm not even going to say their names because they could be sponsors. So keep me out of it.
Hey.
That's a Western problem.
The Frontage Road also has a Mr. Waffle on it last time.
I didn't say a word about any brand. The only brand you're going to hear me talk about are ones that come off the hip, like Mr. Nuts and the Spurtle and Bojangles. And, of course, Dish. That's who you're going to hear me, Brent.
Speaking of Dish.
Yeah.
Speaking of Dish, 845, true or false?
True.
Presented by Dish. That's it. All right. Plenty to go on the show. When we come back, we'll analyze the women's selection special. Congratulations to NC State. And really, one of the feel-good stories did happen last night. Wake Forest is going to the NCAA tournament for the first time since 1988. We'll cover the ladies' selections, all eight ACC schools. Michael DeVoe in this hour and the great David Teal on Packer and Durham's Tuesday show.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. It's a Tuesday. There we go. Proud sponsor. I told you. Nuts.com. That's who we're talking about. By the way,
how make sure that we took care of our sponsors.
Pretty good.
Excellent. 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 Yes. Excellent.
You said you had a whole pallet delivered there to the house, taking care of the neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. Big order. Took care of a lot of things. Yeah, absolutely. It's good. All right. NCAA women's basketball selection last night. 8 ACC teams for the third consecutive year. And as you said at the top, they did get it right.
Yeah.
They finally got it right. Yeah. All the other posturing was just that, Pack.
Well, I mean, that's
finally
why
I got it right.
That's why I ripped them a couple weeks ago. You can't convince me in a million years you've been paying attention that Louisville's a 3 seed and NC State's a 2. And I said that before the ACC tournament. They were wrong then, but they got it right last night. And it starts at the very top,
yep,
where you can have nice things in Raleigh, NC. And Wes Moore's proven that, because not only do they go back-to-back with the titles, Wes, first time since Dirt. We're going to go number one, aren't we?
Oh, yeah, no question. I mean, you're a 116. You got back-to-back women's championships. You've got a great team. You deserve it, and they are. And it's going to be interesting to watch them go down this path now, because they've had a fantastic season. The first number one seed in program history. By the way, they were a 2 seed 3 different times,
yeah,
at NC State. But nice to see them get the top seed here in the Mercado region of the NCAA Women's Tournament out in San Antonio.
By the way, were you surprised yesterday when Muffet McGraw, and we asked Coach about the 1 or the 2 seed, and she's like, well, you know, if you're 2, it kind of takes the pressure off. I was really surprised that she said that yesterday. Because I think if you're a competitor...
Well, I think some coaches...
I think if you're a competitor, yeah, and especially if you've never had that taste of being, hey, we're a 1, you want it, don't you? I mean, I would just assume that, hey, once we tip this thing off, doesn't matter if they're 1 or 16 beside your name, you got to go play and win. But I want to be the 1.
Right.
Right? I mean, if I'm a competitor and I've got my druthers of 1 or 2, it's almost like, well, you know, undefeated teams, hey, you're better off losing a game before. Now, I don't want to ever lose. If I'm a competitor, I mean, don't tell me that loss feels good. No. Give me the 1. I'll take the 1. So good for NC State.
Yeah. No question. And I think they'll handle it well. And here's the other thing, too. A little bit like what we have with Florida State on the men's side, I think we're talking about an NC State team that is also trying to make sure they validate a year ago, right? Mm,
yeah.
And that's hard to do.
Yeah.
But there's still, I think, that part of the mission that really is applicable to both schools. And I think that's one of the things I'm going to watch for this week is not just with Florida State on the men's side, but NC State on the women's side. Remember how disappointed, you know, we talked to Wes Moore not long after the, you know, the pandemic, and boy, they were disappointed, you know? I mean, trying to get back and figure out what was going on, and they just felt like they got shortchanged by not having a chance in the tournament last year. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see kind of how they handle that this week. And I do agree with Muffet. I think sometimes some schools, some teams, maybe 1 year you want to be the 1, other years you want to be the 2. But nonetheless, NC State, the top seed, 4 o'clock Sunday on ESPN against North Carolina A&T. Alamo region has number 2 Louisville. 10th straight bid for Jeff Walls, who's going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour. I mean, just as consistent as it gets, Pack, when you think about the University of Louisville.
And this backcourt, they are dangerous. They don't let that number 2 deceive you. This is a team that is more than capable of getting to the championship and cutting down the nets. And I think NC State and Louisville, legit national championship contenders, both.
Yeah. Be interesting if we could get both of them to a big stage, wouldn't it?
Be awesome. They got a chance.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, no question. Also in the Alamo region, I think this is one of the best stories of the whole deal, men or women, and that's Jen Hoover in Wake Forest. Last night I was excited to see their name pop up on the screen because, Pac, it means more to them than it probably does to anybody else, wouldn't you think?
Well,
I mean, just last night on Nothing But Net, she had great emotion, all the things about what this means to her team and specifically her program.
And she is the perfect connecting of the dot, right? I mean, in terms of, hey, understood what it was in 88 and how important it was as a team member. And now, hey, you're the coach and you want your girls to live that same dream that you lived it back in 88. And so, yeah, absolutely, 100%. We had Jen on the show last week and you almost could sense it building, right? You knew it was coming. They had to sit out the whole week and wait until Monday night. And even with Muffet yesterday, she goes, man, this is the toughest day when you're sitting there on the couch and you know it's coming at 7 p.m. and you're not sure if you're in or you're out. And for Wake Forest and Notre Dame, mixed emotions, obviously, last night was given the news, but just great news for Jen and her ladies. And Gina Conte's yep. going to have to take the Yoo-Hoo and the beef jerky on the road, which is a beautiful thing. And they got, you know, once you're in, yeah. you got a chance. So, again, 8 ACC teams locked and loaded, but Wake Forest is really a feel-good story. No question.
Sure are. They get Oklahoma State Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock on ESPN2. Hemisphere region has Georgia Tech in the very dangerous 5-12 game against Stephen F. Austin. Nell Fortner has the Jackets, who are back in the tournament for the first time in 7 years, and a 4:30 start on Sunday afternoon on ESPNU. I think Georgia Tech's a really interesting team in this tournament because of Lotomay Lotnin, but also Lorella Kubai inside, too. I just think you got an inside-out presence. Be interesting to see how they handle the moment. You know, 7 years, nobody on that roster outside of the coach has been there, so it'll be interesting, I think, to watch Georgia Tech on Sunday and see if they have any early nerves against Stephen F. Austin.
It's been a good vibe in basketball in the ATL. I mean, between what Josh Pastner and his guys just pulled off in Greensboro, winning a championship, and the coolness about their team. And the same thing is going on the ladies' side. I mean, we talk about the two really great teams in the league with Louisville and NC State, but Georgia Tech was playing lights out down the stretch and could be one of those kind of teams that if you're looking for a dark horse to make some noise, Georgia Tech could be your team on the ladies' side. There's no question about that.
Right. Yeah, it really could. Florida State's also in that bracket. Brooke Wyckoff will join us in the 9 o'clock hour today. They get Oregon State, another 8-9 game, Sunday night, 7:30. It's the 8th straight year Florida State has been to the NCAA tournament. And given kind of the turbulence of the year and Sue Semeraul taking a year off to be with her ailing mother, you give Brooke Wyckoff a ton of credit here for keeping this thing on track, Pac.
Not only Brooke, but also her team, because it could have been really easy to say, man, between COVID, the pandemic, the quarantine, the isolation, this is not really, it's like the substitute teacher, if you will. You only get that one mentality, even though Brooke's done a tremendous job and is a former player and gets it and understands what the winning culture needs to be to get to the next level. She's done a tremendous job and another terrific storyline in the ACC.
North Carolina draws a 10 seed against Alabama. They play Monday at noon. 28th appearance for the Tar Heels as a program. Courtney Banghart in year two gets Carolina into the NCAA tournament. Great statement for her. Carolina, by the way, also has the men and women both in the field for the 25th time. That's the most of any school, better than Texas, Duke, and UConn, who follow in that line. That one's courtesy of BP Ives, by the way. Brian Ives offered that one up for you, Pat.
I tell you what, we'll get to Mr. Ives later in the show. He unveiled one yesterday that we are going to talk about regarding being number one in the country. And not just one sport, but multiple sports. And it involves a light shade of blue. But we'll get into that later in the program. It's an incredible stat.
Okay.
An amazing stat.
Yeah, it is. Real quick check of the Riverwalk region. Kenny Brooks and Virginia Tech are going to the tournament. Great for them. They're a 7 seed. Draw the 10 seed Marquette Sunday at noon on ESPNU. Man, Liz Kitley, Asia Shepherd, Georgia Amore. Hokies could be an issue now. Talk about, a team that could put it on some folks, right?
Since dirt, West Durham. Since dirt. First time since dirt, the men and the women from Virginia Tech are in the NCAA tournament since dirt. And by the way, of all these regions, I know everything's going to be in the great state of Texas, and I love the state of Texas. I love Texas. And San Antonio is a great spot, too. The Riverwalk region is the one I want to be in. Of all these, you're giving me Alamo, Hemisphere. The Riverwalk, I get to pick. I want to be. It's like those officials that were standing on the frontage road at the airport got sick. I want to be at the Riverwalk region. If I had to pick one of the four, and I love San Antonio. San Antonio is a great spot.
Yeah,
give me the Riverwalk.
The Also in the Riverwalk region, the 8 seed is Syracuse. The 9 is South Dakota State. 8 straight NCAA tournament selection for Coach Hilsman. And the Orange, they play Sunday at 5:30 on ESPN2 against South Dakota State. So that is a look at the ACC and the NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament. More on that as we draw closer through the week on both the men's and women's side. When we come back, David Teal was one of a handful of journalists that spent a good amount of time yesterday with ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips. He covered a lot of ground with the commissioner. We're going to come back, check in with DT on that. And what's the story on Tony Bennett and Virginia? Big day for Cavaliers. 6 o'clock is the deadline for them to be able to show in Indianapolis for their first round game against Ohio.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. We get a little bit closer to the madness. 8 women's teams locked and loaded. We got 7 on the men's side. And again, I think the deadline is later tonight as far as alternates.
6 o'clock, right?
We'll see what happens. Yep. Louisville first in the bullpen if somebody can't get it done. We'll see where it goes.
Wow. How about that? David Teal joins us from the Tidewater area. Good morning, Mr. Teal. How are you?
Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning, David.
So what's the latest? Yeah, what's the latest here?
Here in the Commonwealth? Well, Tony Bennett did his radio show last night. He was smiling. He seemed optimistic. It's remarkable. UVA released yesterday that from March 8 through 14, the athletic department gave 1,481 COVID tests. One was positive.
Wow.
And you think Reese Beekman beat the clock against Syracuse in Greensboro? Cavaliers just beat the clock on this one because another day later and the contact tracing and such more than likely would have derailed their NCAA hopes.
Puts it in perspective, doesn't it? David, listen, we knew from day one that this was going to be a high wire act, right? I mean, we're at least got 68 in that we know of, and we're going to try to get this thing going moving forward. But moving forward, what do you think Virginia will even look like when we get together, hopefully Saturday, when they take on Ohio?
It's unprecedented, right, Mark? I mean, who has never practiced for 4 days but prior to an NCAA tournament? They're doing scouting reports via Zoom on the Ohio Bobcats, champion of the Mid-American Conference. And they hope that they can conduct a practice Thursday night in Charlottesville prior to their Friday departure for Indianapolis. And then, you know, the game is
okay,
Saturday.
Is it possible, based on what you know, is there some working knowledge that they're going to be down even if they play Saturday? If they make it to Indianapolis, is it possible they're playing with somewhere near the 5? Or is that just we don't know yet?
No, what it looks like now, Wes, is if they make it to Indianapolis, they will be without the young man who tested positive. They would be without him for the entire first weekend. Were they to advance to the Sweet 16, the possibility exists that that player could rejoin the bubble in Indianapolis.
Mm. Okay. And I'm assuming that we have no idea who that one player is. Is that correct?
We do not. I do not.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting, because this is a team that kind of was catching fire here, playing very well, and got to Greensboro and never really – they got started. Beekman hit the big shot to beat Syracuse. Great shot. But now we kind of see them go stop and start again. I'm as curious to see what they'll be when they come out of this, David. And I know it's only been a week. because the NCAA is a little different than what we got accustomed to by the conferences in their protocols here. But Virginia had a lot of momentum when they stopped. I'm not taking anything away from what Georgia Tech did Saturday night. But Virginia and Georgia Tech, that would have been a handful. That would have been a handful in a semifinal.
Virginia-Georgia Tech was a handful twice during the regular season. So I believe it absolutely would have been that Friday night in Greensboro. I was, like everyone else, really looking forward to it. And then you get the email just when you least expect it, much like the day previous with Duke. When's the last time you thought about a conference tournament? You had three teams that played and didn't lose a game.
That's a good point.
There you go.
The other thing about all of this, which is just bizarro, is the fact that, we've got all these question marks regarding Virginia. Today's the deadline. And the first team, quote unquote, out of the bullpen is Louisville. Right? But you kind of knew walking into this that this was going to be an NCAA tournament unlike anything we've ever seen before. And even before we get to the first game, David, it kind of feels like it already is, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely, Mark. And the thing with Louisville is Louisville's the first team out of the bullpen if the affected team comes from a multi-bid league. If a team from a one-bid league had to withdraw before 6 p.m. tonight, it would be replaced by a team from its conference. So that way each of the 31 leagues that played this season would be represented in the field.
Wow. Okay. Let's change gears. You spent time with Jim Phillips yesterday. You were one of a handful of folks that got a one-on-one with him. I know you wrote about it extensively. What did you glean from your first visit with the commissioner at length?
Well, he, as you guys have seen firsthand, he is very enthused about his new position, very much a people person. Like all of us, he's frustrated by the pandemic because he so wants to interact with all his new constituents and is really looking forward. We talked a little bit about this. He hopes in April to start a campus tour of the ACC and get to each of the 15 schools, meet with athletes, meet with coaches and administrators, many of whom he knows, but he wants that one-on-one interaction. And that's what made the search process so peculiar to him, because none of the job interviews, of which there were several with the ACC presidents, were in person. This was all done via Zoom. And he said, I'm sitting there looking at a screen with 15 faces, and I wanted to see them interact with one another, and I wanted to interact with them, and it was just impossible.
Well, it sounded, and based on your conversation and interview, that football is certainly incredibly important as far as the big picture moving forward. It's always been a great basketball league. Football has certainly gotten better in our conference. But moving forward, as far as the stability of college athletics, you better be a force in football.
100%, Mark. I mean, football drives the revenue train. And if the pandemic has done nothing else, it has exposed the vulnerability of the entire intercollegiate athletics enterprise. I mean, we've seen schools everywhere, including the ACC, furloughs, job cuts, sports cuts, and football is the way to drive new revenue. Jim understands it. He comes from the Big Ten, which is the richest conference in America, generating more than $50 million a year for its member institutions. But yet those schools were forced to make drastic cuts in the wake of the pandemic. So the way to heal the financial wounds is through football.
Yeah, I'm curious to – there is obviously a timing issue here, and the pandemic doesn't make that any easier for Jim Phillips to kind of you know, get around for the orientation portion of the commissionership, right? How much do you think he watches the full calendar year play out with football? David, he's gotten a little bit of the back. He saw, you know, arguably the biggest basketball event the league has done, and historically its biggest event. You know, if he's going to move ideas from a revenue standpoint, and I know that's a big part of his challenge, creating that revenue line, and a lot of people have written things about that, but does he almost have to wait through the next football season to get a feel about what kind of cards he's been dealt before he starts, you know, working with athletic directors and chief executive officers to kind of make some changes and some tweaks to what we know in the ACC?
It's a good question, Wes. And I think like any good leader, Jim's intent is to do a lot of listening at the start. He really does not want to come in like a bull and start saying, this is how we're going to do this, and this is how we're going to do that. He wants to get a feel for the schools and the programs. And I think a lot will happen, though, at the spring meetings, which the ACC has not decided whether those will be in person or virtual this May. But if there were going to be any tweaks to football in terms maybe of the schedule moving forward, you know, nothing's going to happen for the 21 season. That schedule's already set. But I think if there were going to be early changes in the Phillips administration for football, it would be to the conference schedule structure in terms of divisions, 8 versus 9 games.
Switching gears, your immediate reaction when you heard Boston College has hired Earl Grant. What was the first thing you thought of?
I was struck by the timing of it. It actually happened while I was on the phone with Jim Phillips, and then I looked back at my laptop and saw the tweets about it. I was like, wow, you know, most people hire coaches, you know, at the Final Four, and that's usually the place where ADs gather to interview coaches because that's where the annual convention is. And the Eagles moved quickly. They found their guy. My first thought was, well, he knows the league, having worked with Brad Brownell at Clemson, and Brad also cut his coaching teeth in the Colonial Athletic Association. Brad at UNC Wilmington, and Earl Grant at the College of Charleston. And I believe it was 2018, I think I have that right, when the Cougars won the CAA and went to the NCAA tournament. And I know they've had three 20-win seasons, and he's quite the recruiter.
Yeah, he also had a couple of guys get drafted, Jarrell Brantley most notably, guys that were taken in the NBA. So he can definitely recruit. By the way, I haven't seen behind your shoulder anything. Did you swipe anything off the walls in Greensboro while you were there last week? Did you small felony, misdemeanor, any kind of petty theft?
I think there was some petty theft. I just haven't had a chance to display it properly.
By the way, I don't know what kind of damage. I don't know what kind of damage you did in Greensboro, even though you just kind of admitted to it. But I want to show a photo here because I know for a fact that apparently you have been in Bristol, Connecticut. And the reason I know that is here is the set of Nothing But Net. And there used to be a bunch of stuff on that coffee table and it's empty. And I said, you know what? David Teal has been to Bristol because there used to be a bunch of cool stuff. And I know we've got the budget at ESPN to put stuff on a set. And the fact that coffee table is as barren as it is, I said, David Teal has been to Bristol. He didn't tell us, but he had a little sneak attack up there at the worldwide leader.
I have very deep pockets that I can hide.
You are a devious man, David Teal. Devious David Teal. Oh, that's what I might just call you from here on out. Yeah. Always got something.
Thanks, David. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Have a great week.
You too.
Thanks. All right, David Teal. You can read his work at richmond.com. Outstanding stuff with Jim Phillips yesterday as well. When we come back, If you missed our visit with the ACC Tournament MVP, Michael DeVoe, the winner of the Everett Case Award, it is next. We'll check in with Zero from Orlando. Actually, we'll check in with him from Indianapolis. He was already in Naptown when we caught up with him yesterday. Back after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. Many thanks to David Teal. I mentioned that the new basketball coach for BC, that'd be Earl Grant. He will join us coming up here at the top of the hour. But yesterday, Mr. Durham, we had the ACC Tournament MVP. That would be Michael DeVoe, who was out of sight as the Jackets cut down the nets. And they are, the boys are already in Indianapolis. And so we had Michael on yesterday. I said, you know what? We know you're in Indy. But man, a lot must have been crazy getting to this point of the season.
This is what it takes for us to play in this year, this whole COVID year and all the things that's been going on. I mean, for us, it's been a lot. So right now we just we've been in hotels, traveling a lot and just staying in the hotels and not really seeing anybody, being in our own bubble.
Yeah, I mean, but does it get boring? Now, Moses claimed to us last week when he won Player of the Year, he was bored. Now, Moses strikes me as a different cat anyway, but that's another story.
Yes, I mean, for us, I mean, it's just finding your own time to do things. I mean, as far as like watching TV shows or watching movies or catching up on homework for us. So, I mean, there's a couple things that you can do, but it is boring. I mean, I'm not going to lie.
Tell you what wasn't boring was that celebration on the floor and watching Jose dive through those balloons I mentioned earlier. That was the definition of pure joy. And, you know, only you guys know what you've been through. And that's true for any team. I don't care what the gender, what the sport during this pandemic. Mike, have you had any time to reflect? I mean, you got some downtime per se. But do you look back at it and go, holy mackerel, remember a time when we were 0-2 and had lost to Mercer and Georgia State? And here we are cutting down the nets and partying like rock stars on the floor and balloons and confetti are falling. It's amazing your journey this year.
This is something that we'll remember for the rest of our lives. I mean, this was a great accomplishment. This is something that we set forth since we've been here. It's been a goal of ours. And for us to accomplish something like this, it's unreal. I mean, especially where we started and how the season started off. And it's unreal, man. I couldn't even put it in, describe how my emotions were and still how they are. But as far as us right now, our goal still remains to win that NCAA championship. So our seasons continue, and we just got to keep getting better and keep winning games.
You know, Michael, here's the interesting thing. And I tweeted this out after the ball game the other night. When you were named the winner of the Everett Case Award, you became the 15th player in the history of the tournament to be named the tournament's most outstanding player and yet not make an All-ACC team the same season. Now, I know you said after the game that, yeah, that means something. That, you know, I think I'm a good player. I think I've gotten better, all those things. But you joined a list of Joel Berry in 2016. Jerry Stackhouse, by the way, in 1994 did not make All-ACC and was the MVP of the tournament. And maybe more importantly than anybody else, the last time Georgia Tech won the ACC tournament, a player who was not All-ACC was the MVP of the tournament, and that was James Forrest, who I know still comes to a lot of games and is around the program on a regular basis. How does that make you feel?
People ask me that all the time. I mean, it's huge for me. I mean, I felt like I've been disrespected in those ACC selections and all that type of stuff. But for me, the thing that I came out with this in this tournament was just like a chip on my shoulder. It's something that I woke up the following day and say, hey, man, this is something that I got to show these people. I got to show the world that I deserve something. So for us, I mean, it was to win that ACC tournament and just come out there and play the right way and play the way that I know that I'm capable of. So that's what I did.
Michael, speaking of disrespected, and I know you still have to be euphoric after winning the ACC title on Saturday, but what do you think of a 9 spot for Georgia Tech after what you guys accomplished by the NCAA selection committee?
I'm not really going to get into that. I mean, for us, we're just happy that we've made the tournament. For us, that was a goal of ours. That's what coach we all talked about. So for us, I mean, we're just happy to be in the tournament. So now they put us in, and now it's time for us to shock the world.
Yeah. It's almost like you guys, and you could probably speak to this as well as any of the other veteran guys. It's almost like this is finally now, you've put all the hard work into it. You kind of personify what Josh Pastner has done from a recruiting standpoint, and you don't want to let it go. You guys don't want this to end, I'm guessing, right?
Not at all. I mean, this is something that we've worked for since we were freshmen, and since, I mean, we're a whole veteran team. So for us, this is an accomplishment that we want to keep going. I mean, it's something that we looked forward to as we were growing up as kids, as being in the NCAA tournament. Watching those videos, watching the games growing up, man, it's something that is so exciting that you would just want to be a part of. So,
I look back at your season. I mentioned, you know, you guys getting off to a lousy start and thinking, yikes, we got to get this thing straightened out ASAP. And I go back to that loss at Clemson in February, where it really was a game you should have won. You know, Jose makes two free throws. He never misses free throws. He misses two, and next thing you know, there's a bank shot, and you're getting back on the bus going home going, how in the world did we lose that game? Well, you know what? You guys haven't lost since. And it's amazing the highs and the lows that this team, and really almost every team, has gone through. But you guys in particular, given the rugged start, some unbelievably tough losses, COVID pauses, and now, ta-da, 8 games in a row. We're cutting down nets. I still got confetti in my hair. We're a 9 seed. You could use that chip on shoulder. It's amazing the highs and lows that you've been through this year.
I mean, it just shows you how there's so many highs and lows in basketball. I mean, for us, it was just, hey, we have a job to do, and this is something that we wanted to accomplish. So, hey, for us, it's to win these games. So for that last stretch, we had a great stretch also my sophomore year at the end of the season as well. So for us was keep getting better, keep listening to the coaches, keep watching film, and just keep getting better. So for us, we just won those type of games, and we knew that we needed to be able to accomplish something that we wanted to do.
Georgia Tech in the dance, 9 seed, Sister Jean on the other side. That's going to be a big-time game. These 8-9 matchups, these 7-10s, 8-9s, even 6-11s, there's not a whole lot of difference, Wes. Uh-huh. Going to be great games coming up this week.
Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, potential unsung players for your team in the NCAA tournament out of the ACC. We had a little list we put together. Some we were right, some we agreed on, others we didn't. We'll cover that in the 8 o'clock hour. Michael DeVoe, not on that list for me.
Me neither. Same.
Yeah, because he's not unsung. That guy's there. That guy's there.
MVP of the tournament. There's no unsung there. Right. Guy's a star.
That's right. So we'll have them for Syracuse, Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech, Carolina, Clemson, Virginia, Florida State, all that and more. When we come back, though, Earl Grant is the new basketball coach at Boston College. And we're going to go to the Heights on a Tuesday morning, and we're going to talk to Earl Grant when Packer and Durham continues on the Atlantic Coast Conference Television Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.